This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big show. Hour number two of The Usual Suspects kicks off right now. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. As we continue to roll on, some NFL news. David Johnson, the running back of the Cardinals. Worst fears confirmed. Surgery needed on that dislocated wrist to miss 2 to 3 months. There goes one of my fantasy teams.
Yeah, you and me both.
That one's going to leave a mark.
Yep.
I already mentioned Akeem Hunt, the ex-Texan, signing with the Chiefs.
Somebody asked on Twitter, what are the Texans going to do at tight end? Or maybe it was text. I don't know. Either way. But they were asking, what do the Texans do? Well, they have Evan Bayless on the practice squad, so no doubt Evan Bayless is going to get some time. Outside of that, I mean, you can maybe go out and find a free agent tight end to bring in off the streets. Logan Paulson, did he retire or not? I have no idea. Ex-49er tight end. Somebody like that. I mean, what they may end up having to do is, I mentioned him earlier in the program, but Jay Prosh may have to line up in that tight end position just to do some blocking.
Yeah, you know, he's not going to be. But Anderson's just a glorified receiver.
No, Anderson's got the concussion.
Oh, that's right.
Too.
He's got the concussion too, right?
All three tight ends on this squad have concussions. They're out. Yeah. So you've got to bring in Bayless off the practice squad and maybe use Prosh just to block.
Or they said
as
they,
a blocking
they
tight end
with his versatility being a reason why he's on the roster. Then Lamb could actually line up at tight end.
Did they really say that?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
This morning, people were kicking it around. Just telling you.
Stop it.
I'm with you. Look, whatever it takes to give him as much protection as possible so that he doesn't get dinged up. But this one ought to be more than interesting on Thursday night. The short window could not have come at a worse time for this team. And again, the one that we're waiting on is Ellington, because we don't know. Jalen Strong is now back after the one-game suspension. But we don't know if Bruce Ellington is also going to be out, which would mean all five guys that suffered concussions Sunday are all out. And then your receiving corps, who weren't stellar to begin with, who start to get stronger, now lose another guy. And you're putting Deshaun Watson out there. So you want to give him every chance to succeed and all the resources you can. But right now, it looks like it is going to be a patchwork quilt. Cut and paste.
To say the least.
Yikes.
All your receivers are out except Hopkins. Like, all, I mean... When is Fuller supposed to come back?
I'll tell you
is
what. That
three
was,
months? Four
no,
months?
No, he was on the field prior to the game Sunday.
Okay.
Running routes and doing things that a guy with the injury that he suffered probably shouldn't be. So maybe he's on a faster track. That would be a blessing.
Well, you
that
get Jalen Strong back next
yes,
week.
Yes, I said. I mentioned you get Jalen yeah. Strong back so after from the suspension. Well, so at least you get one guy back. We don't know what the deal is with Ellington yet. So we'll see. Miller
boy.
Is...
Boy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, Miller's there, but you know, maybe find a way.
Yeah, because I'm looking at free agent tight ends. I mean, they have Dennis Pitta listed, but he had a hip injury. I think
he called
back.
It a career.
Well, he was in the booth, but I think it was just as a guest. But yeah, he's 32. He's not going to do much for you. I see Logan Paulson's available, Chris Gregg, Larry Donnell. I mean, no, there's not. It's what a weird. I mean, of all the things, this is so Houston.
Yeah.
Where you lose three tight ends in one game. That's such an H-town
football
thing to happen.
You
no.
got till Thursday. And by the way, whoever you get that's out there, what are you going to do to get him acclimated to the offense
exactly
that quickly? You know, you're actually on a plane tomorrow, so it's going to be a crap show.
Hey, are we back? Somebody said we lost all signal.
I don't know if we're back, but yes, we did okay. lose our signal okay. and we're working on it.
Good.
That's weird because it's normally so solid. So we continue.
Yo, Joel, Vaseline is used to get hairballs out of your throat. JK, bro. What? That was from Dre on 290.
Because the cat.
I know, yeah, maybe that's the wrong guy. Was that meant for me?
I don't know. There's a guy that should know the difference. But
best friend growing up is a first generation Mexican, and he told me about eating Vicks 15 years ago. Ugh. No, thank you. Yeah, I'm not eating Vicks. That doesn't sound like it would. It sounds like it would kill you. If you ate Vicks, that doesn't sound like anything you should be eating.
Talk about Nick, that cool sensation going down. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't know about eating Vicks. That's some
crazy. You know what? Everybody's texting in J.J. Watt for tight end. You guys can go ahead and stop it
now. Wait a minute.
A minute. I will not allow
After
this.
After only two tackles, maybe you get more out of him at the tight end position. He has touchdowns under his belt now.
Goal line situation, you're running him out there? I mean, it's they've done it.
He's got bigger, better hands than whatever else they got they could put out there.
Yeah. Blade Brown wants a shout out. Hey, Barry, can I get a shout out for putting up 131.9 points and kicking the crap out of Josh El Jefe?
Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can, Blade Brown.
Usual suspect league number two.
Eat that, El Jefe.
I need to go look and see how everybody did.
I played you in one league.
Did you win?
I know I had Stephon Diggs last night, so I felt pretty good about it.
Yeah, okay. I think I was done with...
I had Stephon Diggs in both leagues.
Did you?
That was a nice little pickup.
Oh, look at you.
How about that?
Wow, you're a great auto drafter. I had Andy Dalton, so suck it.
Oh, yeah.
I
had Russell Wilson in one, so I almost sucked it anyway.
Was this the... Yeah, this is the team... You lost, bro.
To you? No way. No.
That's the greatest
I really
moment.
Thought this whole time he was talking as if he knew he won.
I didn't even look at it, but I felt like, oh, I got this.
This
I
really is thought the you best won. Moment in this show's history right now.
I wouldn't go that far.
Joel just talking smack. You lost. I had 53.5 points. You had 50.2.
First of all, that's disgustingly bad.
I had Andy Dalton on my team. I had minus 3 points from Andy Dalton. I got minus three. And the Giants defense got me 0 points. And you still somehow managed to lose to a team that got negative -3 from his quarterback and 0 from his defense.
I am extremely embarrassed, I must admit. Russell Wilson team?
Yeah, that's your Russell Wilson team.
Oh, so I did have...
Your starting running back, besides David Johnson, was Rex Burkhead.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper, Demaryius Thomas, Zach Ertz. You should just fold up the tent now and quit the season.
Yeah, and I didn't... That was the auto-drafted team. And I didn't have Stephon Diggs in that. I have him in two of my three leagues. That wasn't one of them.
Oh, well, I mean, you can... I'm not crying for you. Andy Dalton minus -3, Giants 0, and I have Allen Robinson on that team who got 1.7 points and got bounced in the fourth play of the game. I had Dalvin Cook on that team, though.
Good draft
That's the beautiful comeback. Let's see what the other team did. I think I played you, right, Nick? Oh, no.
I lost that game for sure. On game day?
No. In the usual suspects league number two, I played David Barkley, the Branch Davidians, and he whooped my ass. 99-67. It wasn't even close. Joel, you played David Reynolds.
Yeah.
And you beat David 96-79.
Okay.
Good on you. Nick, you played Greg. I'm guessing that's Beer Man Greg.
Yeah, he didn't have a good week.
Yeah, he beat you 93-80. Other teams, Carlos Cruz beat Nelson Estrada 69-44. Trey Crow with the team of the week, 132 points. He beat Josh Perez 89. That's El Jefe, right? I'm guessing. Kyle Sims, 95. Brandon Grimm, 63. So that's in the usual suspects league number two. Let me see what league number one did here.
In my Nate and Crate league, I put up a respectable 108 points, but I went up against Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, and LeSean McCoy, who could have, and the Rams defense.
Yeah, that's not good.
I lost. A guy put up 133 on me. Oh, boy. You can't beat that.
Jesse Barron beat Megan Ward 94-89. Nick, you lost to Ray Finkel 76-75. That sucks, dude.
Nick, way to be in the game till the bitter end, though.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole week was, I didn't expect garbage. Anything to go to come out.
If you would have called
week,
that timeout before the kick.
Right.
I think you should have pulled that out. I would have iced it.
Joshua Schmuck beat Brennan Raiden 103-94. Jibble John 99. Kit Morton 86. And, how did El Jefe? Oh, no. I'm sorry. Jeshua Watts, 85. Justin Lowe and Nestor Carmona share a team. They lost 85-82. So there's your usual suspects fantasy leagues updated.
Thanks for the Randy McAvoy sports update.
Yeah. Way no worries, man. That's what I'm here for. Why the hell else would we have these if we're not going to talk about them with our listeners?
Well, I talked about it and got foot in mouth.
Yeah. You had a piss poor showing.
No doubt really? About that, and I don't know that there's any light at the end of the tunnel coming either, because I don't know how much time I'm going to spend on the waiver wire.
Well, now, I was going to say, now I've got to go out and make some moves. I got to replace Allen Robinson. I've got to replace Andy Dalton. Oh, that's right. This is the team that I have. James,
I need someone
Winston
to give me a
pitch.
Good receiver for Drew Brees. I got turned down.
You want DeSean Jackson?
No, I don't want Jackson.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
I want a quality
receiver. Which league is this? One or two?
Oh, actually, you know what? I don't know if I think it's game day.
Oh, yeah. I can't help you then.
Yeah.
There you
have it. Boy, what a mess.
All right, your Astros take the field tonight. Oh, by the way, that Indians team that was in the rearview mirror that's now in your windshield, keep on winning. They won again last night against the Tigers. They've now won 19 in a row. That's a problem, people. As the Justin Verlander, weird to say, only his second start since joining the Astros, but he takes the bump tonight against the Angels in Anaheim, so we'll see how that goes. But we've got plenty more to get to on the big show, and if there's something on your mind that you want to get off your chest, hey, 713-780-3776. Give us a call. Hit us up on Twitter, Usual Suspects. Back with more in just a jiff. ESPN 97.5. From Norway to Egypt, I'm to the
point like the pyramids of Giza. ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back in hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza, it's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Other news in baseball, besides the Indians winning their 19th straight, the Dodgers lose their 11th straight in a game that just would not end last night. A rain delay lasting like over 3 hours in San Francisco. They came back for one batter. It started a deluge again. They finished it in the wee hours of the morning with another Dodger loss. So the Dodgers have lost 11 straight. Look, there's a lot going on in baseball. Would you rather be the Dodgers or the Astros right now?
You know,
I mean, it's. I thought about this morning.
Neither
and I'm like,
one of them are going to get caught for the division,
right?
I think I would rather. Well, because pick your poison. Do you want to be the Dodgers and have to face the Nats in the playoffs to get to a World Series, or do you want to be the Astros and have to face the Indians to get to a
Don't
World
forget
Series?
Now the Diamondbacks too are playing kick-ass baseball as well.
Diamondbacks, I get it. I think it. I would say Dodgers because of that staff, but I think that the Astros, if they can get it all together, their staff is fine. They have a much better offense than the Dodgers do. So I'll go Astros.
I would just go, because I'm going to go Astros as well. I agree with that. Aside from the Indians, nobody's red hot in the American League. The Red Sox, the Astros played the Red Sox very well. They finished the year in Fenway Park, so they still have a series on the road against them. But I don't fear the Red Sox except for one pitcher, really. Yeah. To be honest with you, and one closer. But, I mean, for the most part, I like the Astros matching up with home field against the Red Sox. None of the wild card teams scare me. You would ideally like to have the upper hand with the Indians. Whether it happens or not, I still think the Astros have a better chance than the Dodgers because the Dodgers right now are playing are in competition with two teams red hot in the National League. Diamondbacks have been on fire. Nationals with their starting pitching right now, and they made additions to their bullpen, and then they're going to get Bryce Harper back, assuming he no hiccups along the way, and he's fine.
Yeah,
well, those National League playoffs are going to be fun to watch.
Since August 11th, the Indians have lost four games. Their last loss came August 23rd against the Red Sox. They split the series with the Red Sox, two games apiece.
I tweeted it
But they're since August 11th, they've lost four games in a month of baseball.
I believe I tweeted it last night, but...
And two games have been postponed.
Right. But
did they make up one of them? Let me see. Yeah, they did. So they made up one of the doublehead. They made up one with a doublehead. Okay, yeah, they made up both. Okay. Yeah.
Going into, I think it was, or right after last night's game, they have made up 15 and a half games in 17 days against the Dodgers in terms of where their records were at the end of August on August 25th and where they are now.
Who has?
The Indians in terms of chasing, even trying to catch them for best record.
Okay.
But it's only like four games now that separate the two, I think it is. And like on August 25th, it was double digits. It's crazy what they have been able to do. And we highlighted yesterday just how rare it is to see a team win 19 in a row.
Yeah, the what, four teams?
Yep.
You know, and the other thing I was looking at this morning that ESPN had, that we brought it up when we talked to Jay Kaplan last week, but the MVP race, it's not sewn up now with the Astros getting swept by the A's. And Jay Kaplan even said that. He goes, let me see what happens the next couple of weeks, because down the stretch, last year they faded in a bid for an MVP race, and you've seen some guys fade this year, and the Indians are on the come now, so you may have Jose Ramirez as a guy who could creep up. You've got Judge, but don't sleep on Mike Trout and the Angels. If the Angels make the playoffs, if they make a wild card,
they've been red hot.
Folks love Mike Trout, even though statistically he's not ranked in any of them, in any of the categories, in the top five in anything.
He's got a lot of voters in his back pocket.
Yeah, the numbers
sure.
He's putting up is legit. It's very possible that a guy like Jose Altuve, with the year he's had and the year that the Astros have had, could finish second or third in the MVP race.
He can get James Harden again.
Yes.
With two fantastic seasons.
Yep.
But yeah, again, and he's not red hot lately. You know, he's kind of he had a couple of bombs. He went 0-for for three straight games. They rested him for a day, came back strong over the weekend. At least he was hitting some long balls, but obviously the team didn't do well. But you can't look past Cleveland. The voters won't, when they're that red hot, to give guys extra credit.
Yeah. And, you know, we said the Indians have lost four games since August 11th. The Astros, in that same time frame, 14 games that they've lost. They're 15-14 over the last month, essentially, since August 11th.
Yeah, that's not good. So, you know.
Nope. Definitely not turning it on down the stretch.
But hopefully that they can right the ship if they get two out of three, or they take the series from the Angels. They can maybe turn it around a little bit. But, again, it's one thing to turn it around because, like you said, it's not going to be a problem winning the division, but the bigger problem is going to be you're probably not going to catch the Indians if they keep rolling anywhere near what they've been.
They're already a game and a half up on the Astros.
Again, with the tie, it's two.
Yeah.
Because they have the tiebreaker for the season series. Man. So that's something that you got to consider as
so
well.
So depressing. Houston sports has done it again. You know, because I believe I even said that it would take such a monumental collapse that not even Houston could collapse, like not even the Astros could. And they sure are trying. They are really trying to make this a Houston thing.
I thought it was almost comical that we were talking about, will they blow this lead for the best record in the American League? We were talking about the Red Sox at the time because they had the second best record in the American League. And oh, what a difference a month makes.
Thank God, though, that they didn't blow a division lead. I mean, they're 13 games up. There's no way that they blow that.
Can you imagine if they ended up in the wild card after the start that they had? How about this? Just to kind of put more perspective on the Indians, though.
What's their magic number? 9? 8?
It
was 9 four games ago. So it's still 9 because they lost 4 in a row.
But didn't did the Angels lose?
Yeah,
I think the Angels lost. In 171 innings during this streak, the Indians have trailed in just 4 innings. They have outscored their opponents during this streak, 132-32.
Wow.
They are 100 runs better than the competition during this streak.
Okay. The Indians' plus-minus differential is a +218. They've scored 733 runs. They've given up 515. Here's what's crazy. The Astros still have the most runs scored in the major leagues. 788 runs scored, as bad as this team has been playing, is still 55 better than the Indians. And still 40 better than the Nationals. It's their pitching has really let them down.
Well, the bullpen, as I mentioned, gave up 29 runs over the weekend. So it's,
The Nationals are the only team to clinch a playoff berth, by the way.
Yeah, they did it the other night, and they were celebrating and drinking and doing all that.
And they give you playoff percentages. So Dodgers have a 99.9% chance, Diamondbacks 99.8%. The Cubs an 82.2, Astros 99.9, Indians 99.9, Red Sox 99.9, Yankees 98.3. So those are all the teams that are most likely going to make the playoffs. The Rockies have an 87.1% chance. So everybody else, not so much. I mean, the Angels have a 28.9% chance of making the playoffs. 28%. And yet they're hot.
Yeah, they're red they're playing hot, well. But again, yeah. That's what makes, like, we talked about this several times in the past, but what's the beauty of the wild card?
Yep.
Teams that otherwise would be just worried about getting young guys some exposure and some reps before, so they can make a better judgment on them going forward, instead are right in the heat of things, because that American League wild card is awesome.
Now, what's hilarious is I come out and say, there's no way that the Astros would get caught by the Angels, right? Right. They're about to start a 3-game series with the Angels. Now, the starters that the Angels are running out there, Richards, Skaggs, and Nolasco, are combined 7-18 with Richards not having a record. He's 0-0. You're right. The Astros are running out Verlander, McCullers, and Peacock. And there's no reason that the Astros shouldn't sweep the Angels, right? But could you imagine?
Wait till they get to the bullpen.
Could you imagine getting swept by the Angels now?
Well, you're doing this, aren't you?
You would be down to 10 games with about 15 to go, and you would have to face the Angels 3 more times. This could get as close as 7 games.
How dare
in
you
this
do
division.
This to a city that's already
because
dealing with
I've
this
Texans
talk?
Because I've lived here my
talk.
Whole life. I know how this works. It's not going to... Joel, I'm telling you right now, if on September 25th, to start the Rangers series, having just finished series against the Angels, the Mariners, the White Sox, and the Angels again, the Astros, if they're only 7 up on the Angels with 7 games to go, I'm not going to be shocked. The way that this has gone, and the way that this city, the sports franchises in this city, dude, that would be the most, oh my God, I can't even tell you. Single digits, 7 games. It's seriously possible.
I don't even want to think about it.
Yep.
I mean, especially after all this devastatingly depressing Texans talk after only 1 week. The last thing I want to fathom is the fact that the Stros could completely collapse.
Somebody wanted to know, can Marwin Gonzalez play tight end for the Texans?
It's a great call.
He's a utility
Better
guy.
Than their other options at this point, probably.
Somebody said, is Owen Daniels available? He has experience with bad
QBs. When's the last time he was at the station? He's still in town. Rush him over to Kirby real quick. Get him a physical. Get that man a helmet. He can play.
Yeah.
Tough it out. Whew. All right. So we've reached the midway point. We've gotten some Astros, a lot of Texans, some NFL, and some baseball. But we've got more on the docket to go. And if there's things that you want to cover, you've been doing a great job of joining us so far. But please, whether you call, text, or tweet, give us a contact. 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line, where you can call or text or hit us up on Twitter. Usual Suspects, back with more ESPN 97.5.
The station that brought you Dream Crushers, the pepper spray incident, and male golfer, female golfer food. We celebrate 10 years.
Out of my mouth.
Thank you, Houston.
Thank you.
ESPN 97.5 is 10. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, The Usual Suspects coming out of the halftime break with much, much more as we got 90 minutes to go in the big show, as we get a little bit of a fun and games department that I like to talk about, which is the announcing side of things in sports. And boy, sometimes we get a story here or there. There is plenty to talk about with announcers coming out of the weekend and even last night. Well, the beauty of local live television. I think it's great because, you know, on Monday nights, obviously, unless you are the local market, like if the Texans were on Monday night, we'd have everybody doing pre, post news coverage, you know, live from the stadium, whatever. But because you're not in one of those markets, you don't get the local aspect. Well, the Saints last night got a little more than they bargained for, at least Saints fans did, because the local pre and post game show had the one, the only ex-Saints coach Jim Mora on, and oh, the beauty of live TV with Jim Mora.
Minneapolis. Fletcher, Sharif, and Coach Jim Mora. The later it gets, the less patient Coach gets with Fletcher and Sharif, guys.
Scott just said the later it gets, Jim, the less patient you get with us. Is that true?
Who said that?
Scott.
Tell Scott he's full of
It's okay. Sorry about that. What? He's full of it. How about that? Yes, he is full of it. Yes, we're live. It's okay.
It's okay.
Was that live?
That was live.
No, it wasn't.
That was live. Let's just move past it.
Oh, my God.
That's okay. That's okay. Let's just move past it.
Are you serious?
Yes, we're serious. How about this? Let's hear from Sean Payton. That's okay. Let's hear from Sean Payton, right?
Don't tell me about live. Live? Playoffs? You want to talk about being late?
Oh, dude, he just dropped the S-bomb right there like he's Nick Sharara. Like, he didn't even care.
Like me,
like
huh?
Nick. I don't ever do that.
Yeah. I don't do that. I'm glad I keep it professional, unlike Jim Mora.
This guy managed to hit the cough button and still get a curse word over the.
But he's blaming you.
Yeah, like on Sunday, he hit the cough button and it came through Shock's microphone.
Oh my God! Doesn't surprise me though.
That's hilarious.
He's a projector. He can project you.
Me?
Yeah.
No. But that's hilarious. I love that he had no idea that they were on or that they were live.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, he's full of...
What? And then everybody else is already in deep cover mode trying to cover up for him, and he's kind of going, wait, what?
Dude, the video is great because you see the reporter sitting next to him. I don't know if it's a sports guy or whatever, but he grabs his microphone and tries to cover it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's already out. He's already said it. It's too late. But then they're all just freaking out, and Moore's just laughing, like, wow,
At that point, he should have pulled the Nick Sharara head shake out. When you know it's too late, you just look at, just shake your head and go, whatever.
That's what I do. I do that a lot.
Speaking of bad, who was worse, Rex Ryan or Sergio Dipp? Which one? Because it was all
part of the same game too. That's
I'd say Sergio because he was responsible for a lot less, wasn't he?
Yeah, he just had the one. I mean, I stopped listening actually right after he did his little thing. I felt bad for him, but at the same time, I was thinking, what is this guy doing on here? He's not polished at all.
Well, this is kind of like the B team because you got two games on Monday.
This was the D team.
Yeah, and ESPN normally had a solid B team lined up, even if it was Tirico and Gruden. Then you could go.
That's what I was going to say. Their B teams were usually
always pretty solid, right?
Yeah.
Now you got Beth Mowins, whether you like her or not. She's doing the play-by-play with Rex Ryan,
yeah.
Who I love Rex Ryan's honesty, but has no grasp of broadcasting whatsoever. And then, as you mentioned, sideline goes to a guy that was on ESPN Deportes for the most part, but he gets bumped up for the chance of a lifetime to do sideline for an NFL game. And let's just say Sergio Dipp.
He was like, well, folks, it's a pleasure to be with you guys here on the field. From up close, watching the coach. You watch him now on the screen. He has diversity with the background, quarterback. And it was just, and it none of it flowed. And you can tell he's not polished. And I was just like, God, that was awful. Yeah, now, I'm not a polished radio guy by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't claim to be. But I'm also not on Monday Night Football in front of millions of people.
Right. And then, to make it worse, he goes on Twitter.
Yeah, and that broke my heart to watch it.
But yet you could tell he had notes below the camera.
He was looking down and reading.
But he tried to tie it into 9/11.
Which was weird.
Totally weird. And then started talking about how big the stage was, like you said. But then was like, I hope I get another chance someday. It's like, oh,
and then, of course, he's getting roasted, and people are, like, having some fun with him on Twitter. And just a bad night for that dude all the way around.
I didn't see the rebuttal, but I remember when it first happened, because I actually wasn't looking at the TV when he was reporting. I was just listening.
Heard, and you're like, that
was
like,
there
awful.
Is something wrong right now. You know what I mean? Like, there's
the
no
producer,
way.
And you were like, oh, that was horrible. What was that? Yeah, but I fortunately, that was about the time the wife went to sleep and the box fan in the room came on, which negates any sound and being able to listen to any game. So I didn't have to listen to the broadcast. But I did get to see Rex Ryan's intro where he was lunging at the screen like, whoa, this, somebody come here. Ah! And then the lady, the chick,
Beth Mowins.
Yeah, she was like, could you stand still? Like, she was like, dude, chill.
Yeah, she called him out completely. She goes, I mean, here's a guy that's getting a little excited in his first game because obviously he can't keep his cue mark even straight. He's moving straight forward. He was like 5 feet away from her lead going at the camera, which was great. And I'll tell you who else has a grasp, because I know someone that gets under your skin. But one of the guys that has a grasp as a rookie broadcaster, Tony Romo did the Raiders-Titans game. And I'm sure at some point one of the teams is going to have an issue with this. But when the teams broke the huddle on offense, based on the formations they were setting up in, he was already predicting for the audience exactly what was going to happen,
and it,
it was happening.
That's
and
what you want, though.
That dude right there,
he knows his stuff.
He gets it. Yeah, yeah, he gets it. That was pretty solid.
But that's what you want, right?
Oh, for
like,
sure.
I mean, I want that insight. I want somebody like Tony Romo to be like, "All right, right now, what you're looking at is." As a quarterback, you come out, you notice where the safety is, you're picking up the Mike linebacker, you're reading the coverage on this side, you're looking at this guy's shoulders and hips, and you're saying, okay, that's inside, that's going to be man coverage over here. Like, I want to know all that.
And that was awesome. Like, you know what? And you
they
guys
need more of that.
I was going to say, you guys already know how much I cannot stand Buck and Aikman, but I would have Tony Romo doing, I would like to have him do games because for just that very reason. I mean, on one of them, he was like, okay, so here's what you got. When the quarterback gets to the center, you realize that there is no guys in the backfield or the secondary for the defense. They're all lined up man-to-man. On a man-to-man play, because you got two on split on the right side, they're both going to be running crossing routes. One of them's going to be open because there's going to be a rub. And I'm like, dude, that is just
what you want from a color analyst.
That is pizza with bacon and cheese. I mean, that is just everything a man wants when he's watching football.
Can we talk about my disdain for Chris Collinsworth morphing into John Madden? Not only does he say, here's a guy that blah, blah, blah now. He does that all the time, by the way. Pay attention next time because he'll be like, yeah, here's the guy who comes out and he does it. Okay, that was when I was like, what? And this was last year that he started that. This past week on the broadcast, he goes, yeah, right here, boom. And then you go over here, pow. I was like, oh, my God.
And then
he's really trying to be John Madden.
And then Al Michaels asked him if he could do the noises again, and he was doing the noises again.
I'm like, dude, I don't have a problem with Chris Collinsworth, but I do have a problem with Chris Collinsworth stealing John Madden's thing.
Here's the guy. When he runs, he actually goes faster. Boom, there.
Oh, God. I was not happy with him. Not
let us know if you got any comments on the broadcasting, because there was plenty to talk about and plenty to go around after week one of the NFL. We'll continue to roll on with more show. We'll be back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
One, two, three, go. My baby don't mess around because she loves me so.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Usual Suspects on a Tuesday here in the big city. Sun is shining, humidity is down, beautiful day outside, beautiful day inside if you're listening to us, wherever you are, because we appreciate you. It is Nick, it is Barry, it is Joel, as we continue to roll on.
You forgot his name there for a second.
No, because I looked at the board and I'm like, well, you know, one of the persons of interest besides Charlie Palillo that's a part of this show, and suspect in a lot of ways, is Jerry. And I looked at the board, and there's a Jerry that wants to talk about announcers.
Oh, what's up?
What's up, man? Jerry?
You guys notice with Joe Buck, he does this every broadcast. It makes him mental. He looks at Troy Aikman like so, not lovingly, but like he's like,
wantingly.
I wish I was you. I wish I had your life. And then what he does is he looks back at the camera, and he like smiles. Like, he does this little smirk to the camera, and then he looks back at Troy Aikman like, oh, God, you're just so much a better human being than I am. I wish I was you. It's the greatest thing. Every time they go live to the studio, you can watch him. He's right on Troy Aikman, looks back at the camera, does a little smirk, and then he goes back to Troy Aikman. It's the weirdest, creepiest thing ever.
I haven't noticed it.
I can't stand his broadcast.
No, you're spot on. And don't forget the fact that he looks at Troy and says, and I love your hair because I want it.
He loves everything about him. He goes, you're taller than me. You're better looking than me. You're more athletic than me. He just looks at him like, I love you and I hate you at the same time. That's like the feeling I get when I watch his broadcast. And the other thing was Rex Ryan, I'm watching the game, but I didn't have the sound on. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, this guy's got the Crest White strips out. He's got like Donald Trump's bronzer on. He's looking all tan and fresh. He was probably just so happy to like not have to deal with the Jets or the Bills anymore. He doesn't even care anymore.
What I heard from his intro, he was so excited to be there.
He was fired up.
I didn't even know how he did. I mean, did you listen to the broadcast
at
all?
Some of it. I mean, look, like I said, I like the fact that his honesty, like he doesn't hold back. Like, and even in the meetings that when they were running some of the interviews with some of the guys, and even on Hard Knocks, when he goes right at certain guys with certain topics, which I love.
Yeah.
But my question, Jerry, is how many times do you think he was copping some pretty serious, you know, the look that Joe Buck was giving Aikman? How many times do you think Rex was giving that look to Beth Mowen's feet?
I don't know, man. I don't think anybody's that creepy as Joe Buck, so I don't think Rex Ryan was doing it.
Have you seen Rex's foot
Ryan
fetish?
Looking at her saying, like, I want to be you. You could totally tell Joe Buck looking at him like, man, and he goes, like, you could tell Joe Buck when he was younger was like probably, I think his father was a baseball guy. He was probably pretty athletic, but not quite there. And he's looking at Joe Aikman Troy Aikman like, God, if I was just a little bit better, I could be you, but I'm not. So I got to sit here and make this stupid smirk at the camera and pretend I like you. It's hilarious. I can't stand his broadcast.
All right, I'm going to be checking it out next time for sure. I'm going to have to pay attention to this. Appreciate the call, Jerry.
Oh, my God. Just please, Barry, just go DVR, go to your DVR. Just look. I mean, without fail, he's very polished. Like, you could tell that's like broadcasting 101. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, look at your partner with intent. Mm-hmm. Yes, I hear you. Oh, great point. Awesome. Check back in with the audience. Hi, how are you? You're still there. Great. Now, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so scripted, and he never his voice doesn't change. You know, his voice inflection don't change. Nothing changes. It's the same thing every time. So, I don't know. I'm over it. I say bring back. We need to drag John Madden back out here when he's talking about the turducken or whatever. Anything's more interesting.
Well, Chris Collinsworth trying to bring him back and be him, so don't worry about it.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate the call, man. Appreciate don't be a stranger.
A couple of texts. Somebody said, leaving NRG on Sunday, fans were chanting, let's go Astros.
No,
I believe that.
I do, too.
I totally believe
totally
that.
Totally a Houston thing. I believe that.
I thought the sideline reporter was a Make-A-Wish kid. Dang it, guys.
See.
Keep
you didn't
it classy.
It?
No, I knew exactly what it was. Come on, Joel.
No, don't give yourself that much credit.
All texting, no tweeting had the tweet of the century, but I'm not going to read it. I just can't. You're disparaging my game day brethren, and I can't allow it. Collinsworth is also guaranteed to say, this guy is the best player at his position in the entire NFL at least three times a game. How is that even possible? Yeah. No, I didn't hear Chris Collinsworth act like Madden, because as soon as I hear his voice, I mute the TV. That's NASCAR Johnny. Probably a wise move. Like I said, I don't really mind Collinsworth all that much. I don't think he's terrible. I just don't want him acting like Madden or trying to be Madden. That's what pisses me off. Somebody
you know that text you didn't read. The fact that you didn't read it means it goes against your whole fantasy football name, the Intern Killers.
I know.
Boy,
I can't do that, though.
More information out there.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
No, they're dogging my girl Belinda. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it.
Now there's even more information
out
there.
I'm not going to do it. Nick knows I'll slowly do it.
That's why he's trying to lure me to do it right now.
I'm not going to do it. Somebody said, how many times did you hear San Diego last night? I know we have the referee screwed it up on a timeout call, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we actually heard it from game officials.
Yeah.
Rivers tried to get the timeout, and I think he got it.
First charge timeout, San Diego, prior to the clock expiring.
And I think at that point, Rivers was walking off. You can actually see him turn around and look at the referee and start laughing. It's like,
yeah, you can see him laughing right when he
hears
it. Yeah,
he's like,
bro,
you screwed that up. And then I think SVP even messed it up a couple times after on the broadcast. So
let's not.
He took it a step further.
Hey, let me say,
I'm going to screw it up plenty.
SVP,
so don't have no fear.
Calling him San Diego a lot better than Kansas City, because if you missed it, his Kansas City call was a whole lot worse last week.
Oh, yeah.
We don't still have it, do we, Nick?
I'm going to look for it right now because I had it. I had it censored.
He added an SH in front of Itty.
Yeah, and he knew what he did. And, you know, the other first.
He goes, that's going to be on the internet.
Yeah, the first rule of broadcasting is act like it never happened. No, instead he went, yep, that's going to be all over social media.
But honestly, that's in this day and age, I think that's the perfect response.
Yeah.
Just it's going to go on the internet. Whether you say or not, it's going to go on the internet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but that was hilarious.
Last text, somebody said, you think at how good Tony was at predicting plays, he would have gotten hurt a whole lot less by seeing all that stuff. I don't have to say he hasn't lost a step with the amount of times he turns it over to the other broadcasters.
All right.
I mean, you can see it coming. That's one thing. But if you're just brittle, you're brittle. I mean, you're going to get hit. There's some guys that just get hurt. I mean, Amendola and what's his name?
Edelman?
Yeah. Those guys are just brittle.
Look, Sam Bradford's the perfect case in point, because if you just give him time and you don't hit him, he's The throws he made last night were all world in certain cases, where he put the ball into a small window, and he was taking some hits. But over the course of his career, he's not a durable guy, and he is going to get hit. It is football, after all, and it's tackle, and he can't stay healthy. But yeah. But boy, oh boy, I mean, some of the throws he made last night were pretty damn impressive.
He was dropping dimes. I was like, man, who is this guy?
Yeah, no question about it. So it'll be interesting to see. Let's see broadcast teams for this week. I got Sunday Night Football. So Sunday Night Football this week is Falcons hosting Green Bay. So I get
calling the game.
So then I get to see your boy Collinsworth.
Okay.
Do you think that? By the way, I was going to ask.
We're
you
all going to watch it, right?
Do we think that Al has lost a step? Al Michaels.
I don't know. Probably.
Talk about love or hate, because Collinsworth and Al are both in that category. You're either big on them, or you just can't stand them. And I think it's, you know, they gave Tirico all this money, and I just love the way Mike Tirico calls a football game. I'm ready for Mike Tirico to take over Sunday Night Football. I think Al's just kind of slowing down.
Yeah,
I would definitely rather hear Tirico.
I mean, Tirico's really good. Sure. Yeah,
like
I'm agreeing with
you. Flipped him a bone, and Tirico's doing Notre Dame games. I would otherwise never watch Notre Dame games, but I'll watch Notre Dame games more now because Tirico calls a great game.
Yeah. Oh, is he calling Notre Dame?
Yeah, he's doing Notre Dame games just for NBC because he got all that money, and they're like, Al had a problem when he was doing the Thursday night games. They were going to slide him in to do Thursday night, so Al didn't have as big of a workload. Now it's like, no, I'm good. I'm ready to go. So I think he could feel the footsteps coming. So he kiboshed that one, so they gave him Notre Dame football instead.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Al Michaels, but I really haven't noticed a drop-off too much, but that I don't always pay attention once the games are on. I pay attention during
especially
Texans
if the
games.
Fan's on.
But yeah, a lot of times I'm working on the computer or doing something else, and I just have the game on. So yeah, I haven't noticed. Last night I noticed Collinsworth just because of Sunday because of the drawing and
the
over the top. Yeah, I mean that's just too much.
Do you, bro? Do you? Be
yeah,
you.
Don't steal anybody else's thing, man.
There
especially somebody like Madden. I mean, it's obvious when you're doing Madden, and it's funny because I tweeted about it like seriously, don't steal Madden stuff. Turns out there's memes of Chris Collinsworth stealing John Madden's thing. Like this existed for a while now. Yeah. So it's not something that I'm pointing out. A lot of people are noticing it.
Wow.
Yep.
All right. Well, there you go. Hey, 2 hours in the books. 1 hour to go with a big show. So we still got 60 minutes still ahead of us and plenty more to get to.
You want to talk college football rankings next?
If they're out, let's talk about it.
They're out.
Yeah.
Let's see. AP Top 25 has been updated.
I'm on a roll. I want to talk all about college football.
You want to talk about Wisconsin?
No, they're overrated.
Did they go up or did they go down?
I think they stayed the same unless...
Nope.
Wait, no, because teams in the top 10 lost. Okay, so they probably moved up, and they're playing the daunted BYU Cougars this week.
Will it be good news or bad news? Up next.
Live on The Usual Suspects, hour number 3 in just minutes on ESPN 97.5.
For something to do this weekend, visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.